Hello, I'm Michael Meehan, editor at SearchWebServices.com, and today I'm speaking to Corey Isaacson, CEO of Rogue Wave Software, about multi-core processing and SOA. Good day, Corey. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Excellent, excellent. Glad to have you here. There's been a lot of talk about multi-core and SOA recently, though I imagine for a lot of software people it's a bit confusing in that they deal with software, they don't necessarily think about things like multi-core processing, and I'm curious to get your thoughts on why the one applies to the other.
Well, effectively, when you're talking about a service-oriented architecture, you're obviously breaking things down into components and you're distributing those components across the network. That's part of the very fundamental nature. When you talk about multi-core, you have the ability to effectively distribute within a machine, not just across machines. And that means that if you do things correctly and your software can take advantage of it, you can really scale your applications. But if your software isn't designed correctly and can't take advantage of it, you can actually see poorer performance in some of those applications.
All right, then my next question is, Java applications, a lot of people assume, can automatically scale on multi-core hardware without a lot of modification. I'm led to believe you say that's not true, and I'm curious as to why that's not true, and then what does one have to do in order to get them to scale?
Right, right. Well, I think it depends on the class of application and the type of thing that you're doing and how your software was written. If what you have is a typical web application where you're just serving up web pages, it's probably going to scale just fine because it's going to take advantage of the multi-threaded characteristics of the underlying application server. You have a business processing application which was not written for a multi-threaded environment. For instance, if you're doing an overnight batch process or if you have complex calculation processing, we were just talking to one customer recently that has an interactive web application, but they have to require a lot of, stickiness between the user's requests, and the user has maybe a dozen or more requests that they might do in a 5 or 10 minute session, and those things all have to be related. Those kind of things are not necessarily going to scale, and they're not going to take advantage of it because they're not multi-threaded in the very nature that they're written. And that's really the key, is to take advantage of multi-core, you have to have multi-threading underneath. If your application wasn't written that way, which is not always easy or simple, it really can be a problem.
And I'm curious to find out how distributed services affect that. For instance, I may not have one person writing sort of a monolithic application now. I might be using different components from different areas, and I may not be able to necessarily count on, the programmers in each case having taken multi-core into effect with that. Curious to get your thoughts on how people overcome that hurdle in getting services to run on multi-core.
No, that's absolutely the case, because what will happen is, let's say you have a service on a particular machine, you move it to multi-core hardware, very often the clock speed of the individual core is less than what you had with single core CPUs, and so very often the performance in a single-threaded service, if you will actually go down and not go up. And so one of the things you have to be able to do is you have to be able to take advantage of that. And you really have two choices to be able to do that. One is you can rewrite that service to be multi-threaded, which takes a lot of expertise, a lot of time. It's very, very difficult to debug in many, many cases to be able to do that. Or the other is you have to have some sort of tool that externally to that service will actually allow you to control and run multiple instances of it in a safe way.
Next question I've got is about application servers and how well they provide ordered control for concurrent applications. A lot of people, I think, assume, again, that they automatically do. I again take it that what you're telling people these days is no, they don't, and don't assume your application server can do everything for you.
That's exactly right. When you look at how an application server works fundamentally, what it does is certainly a multi-threaded environment, but it's really made primarily for what we would call short, stateless transactions. Again, a web page loading is a great example. You don't really care about the order of web pages loading, but if you have something where you're doing a business application, let's say that you're, we had one example where someone was using a phone card system where they basically had to authorize each phone call literally and make sure that you're not over exceeding your minutes, or a banking application where you don't want to take the money out of the account before you make sure the user puts the money into the account. Things like that are very, very critical. Stock trading applications, anything like that where order control is very, very critical. when you throw a request at an application server, the application server will route that request onto any available thread, again, in a stateless manner, and you won't have any control over how fast it gets done. So you could have two requests come in, one before the other, and essentially the one that came in later could finish first. And that can be disastrous in certain types of applications. So it's absolutely not automatic. If you want to enforce that yourself, you have to start to go to semaphores and other types of locking mechanisms, which, again, are very expensive. They will reduce your performance even more, and it's really a challenge, really a challenge.
And how much, I mean, obviously you're doing multi-core in order to help your performance. I think you'd probably hate to think that, hey, I did this multi-core processing initiative and it decreased my performance. Are you seeing performance problems out there being created by people ineffectively using multi-core processing in conjunction with a lot of this sort of new age SOA application development?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. We recently talked to, especially with older applications that weren't designed, you know, with this in mind. We have one customer that we talked to, and they essentially have seen their server utilization go down when they bring in multi-core equipment. And again, that's because their software wasn't designed to take advantage of the multiple-threaded model. And because of that, and because the clock speeds are slower on the individual cores, you actually can see the performance degrade. And, you know, this is it's a significant problem, because if you can take advantage of those additional cores effectively, you can scale your processing to much, much higher levels than you were able to do before with single-core technology. But at the same time, if you can't, you're really not going to be able to even buy single-core machines anymore. I mean, this really is the way the whole industry is going. And so we expect to see more and more companies running into this issue over the next 12 to 18 months because, really, as they start to replace their hardware, things that they didn't expect to happen are going to start to show up.
What's the differences between concurrent computing and multi-threaded programming?
Well, concurrent computing is the idea of doing more than one thing at a time, and multi-threading is a way to do that. And when you get down to it, you know, there are many ways to do concurrent computing. There's grid computing, which is across machines, so you can have two completely different machines doing part of a task. That's great if you have a really computational intensive problem, like a scientific computing problem or a financial analytics problem that takes, you know, seconds, minutes, or hours to complete. You have lots and lots of business transactions coming through. Again, if you have to preserve order, if you have a typical business application, what you want to be able to do is you want to be able to process those requests concurrently within a given machine, especially with multi-core technology. Today, you're seeing we are running on 8-core machines today. We see 16-core and 32-core machines coming not too far off into the future. So you really have to be able to do a lot more within a machine, which means you have a shared memory and a shared processing environment. So to do things concurrently that way requires a multi-threaded approach. And again, you can do it yourself and code it yourself, but that's it's challenging, can be very, very difficult to debug. There's a lot of potential errors in that type of environment. Or you can use some tools that will help, again, on the basis of external to your code, to run it in a multi-threaded environment and really run it so that it uses a pipelined approach and can actually effectively deal with taking advantage of all of that hardware.
You know, one of the things I often run into is that in the IT world, people did an excellent job for about 20 to 30 years of segmenting themselves off from all other concerns within the IT infrastructure. They do their one thing, they've got their blinders on, they don't have to worry about it, there's a waterfall, and they don't have to care about what's going on either before them or after them in the waterfall. I'm curious to get your thoughts on, you know, whether you're running into a lot of resistance from people on even thinking about this stuff because it's, hey, I'm a software person, I don't want to think about this. I don't want to think about 32-core, you know, machines and the 32-core, you know, machine people going, I don't want to think about software. Are people getting together on this?
You know, I think we are starting to see more and more of that. But also, I think, again, you know, one of the things that we really concentrate on at RogueWave is a set of tools that allow this to be done at deployment or operations time as opposed to be done at development time. And I think that's a very good point you bring up because, frankly, a software developer shouldn't have to worry about that particularly. They should write business functionality, create services that provide a given function the way that it's supposed to work, test and debug that, to deploy it, and then managing it for volume, managing it for scalability should be something that happens after that. not as part of that process. And that's a very, very key requirement.
Well, thank you very much for taking the time today, Corey, and thank you to our listeners for joining in. I hope you found this as informative as I did. Once again, this was Corey Isaacson, CEO at Rogue Wave Software, talking about multi-core processing in SOA. Good day, all.
Thank you.